Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Well, hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and this is Thanksgiving week. Oh, my goodness, I know so many of you are getting ready to travel and to go visit family and friends. Maybe this week you're going to be taking a vacation and just taking those extra days off, which always come with a holiday weekend for Thanksgiving. But I promised you we were going to be talking food today, but we're not going to be talking turkey. No, no, gobble, 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 gobble. None of that. We're going to be talking fish. Yes. Now, that may sound a little strange, but quite often I've been fascinated with different people saying, I want something different for Thanksgiving. And so we have discussed fish, and I thought this was a great way to start off the Thanksgiving week with something that's different. And if you're trying to watch that waistline, because the holiday season just is loaded with delicious goodies, yum-yums that people will spend hours preparing for your pleasure, why not have some delicious seafood or think about that as being part of your menu? You can have hors d'oeuvres. You can have all kinds of things. Well, we have a delightful guest today, Barbara Selig Brown. We're going to be talking about the Diabetes Seafood Cookbook, and it's low-fat cooking, but it's loaded with flavor, and it's oh so good. So get your pads of paper and your pens and or pencils so that you can write down these recipes because they are so amazingly easy. But before we do any of the recipes, Barbara, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here. And I love the idea that you're talking about seafood as part of the Thanksgiving menu. I think it's a great idea because we don't want to have heavy hors d'oeuvres for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So seafood, of course, is light and fresh and a great way to start your Thanksgiving meal. In fact, I just said to my husband, perhaps he'd like some type of a salmon appetizer on our Thanksgiving table this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I have heard people say they like to get away from turkey. Thanksgiving happens to be our biggest holiday in our family. It's the time when we have the most family members together in our home, and we absolutely love it, and we do the turkey. But I do supplement that with some hors d'oeuvres, like stuffed clams or stuffed mussels, some shrimp dishes, things like that. People love that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Barbara, I want people to know that you're a host or a hostess of a TV cooking show called Stress-Free Cooking. You also have done another cookbook, but I just love it when I hear that as a youngster, you were in the kitchen along with Mom and Grandma and were right there in the midst of all the hustle bustle. To me, the kitchen is the soul of a home. And
oh, I agree.
One of our relatives, we went to them, they had just finished this magnificent home, I forget how many thousands of square feet is in it, and she's not a cook, but her husband is, so she wanted to do a lot of entertaining. Well, she has this wonderful open floor plan on the upper floor where people come in for a party, and she had this kitchen design, and her husband got everything in the kitchen he wanted, but she forgot one thing, and that was, so whenever there's a party, everybody goes into the kitchen. She said, here I have all of this open space and nobody's there. They're all in this tiny, tiny kitchen.
And that's so true. And today, I think people just don't have time to entertain formally.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that we do have more people in the kitchen because maybe they're helping us put something together at the last minute. Or maybe you just decided to have some last minute guests. And so no one expects you to have slaved for 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, holiday preparation always involves planning. I've never been able to just wing it on a, you know, on a... there's all of this activity. And I really, really think that it's one of the greatest joys. Now, tell us what your mom and your grandma did that turned you on to cooking, because I've known a lot of gals and a lot of guys that just wasn't the case with them. They didn't even have a chance to get into the kitchen. How were you so lucky? Hello? Barbara? Uh-oh. I think... My goodness. I think we lost my guest. Barbara's phone line just disappeared. She might have been on a cell phone. I was hearing a burping sound. Dawn is going to be trying to get her on the other line. I think she might have been on a cell phone because something happened. She disconnected. But, you know, getting back to the holiday, this is something that in our home, I don't care how carefully I plan, invariably, I have to shoo people out of the kitchen so that I can maneuver and manage. And it's really fun when some people come in and say, well, I could do this. How about this? How would you like that? I said, out of my kitchen. Just to get out of my kitchen. But one of my greatest and fondest memories was with a relative. On my father's side of the family was all Italians. And so food is just such an important part of the Italian family environment. And it was my Aunt Josephina. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old. And she had this little dinky kitchen in New York. And in this little tiny kitchen, oh, there you are. I'll finish my kitchen story later. Barbara, we lost you there for a moment.
I know, Donna. I was so interested in what you were saying, and all of a sudden I just got this dial tone. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. I all of a sudden realized that the phone line sounded very, very quiet because I asked you a question. I wanted to ask you a question. How did you get to be so lucky where you were able to be in the kitchen with your mother and your grandma at the same time? I mean,
you know,
that is just optimum.
It is. It's fabulous. I had a young mom and a young grandma, and so fortunately I was able to be with both of them for many years together in the kitchen. And they both loved to cook. And I'll tell you, cooking and having family together in our home was always very, very important. So to me, it's just second nature. And, you know, I'd like to see more of that today. I know people's lives are all different. You know, no one has the same exact day-to-day life. But I just think that's such an important part of life. And we do have a very open kitchen in our home. And we spend a lot of time with our kids and our grandchildren having fun, cooking, you know, doing simple things sometimes, but just making it fun.
Mm-hmm. I think that is absolutely wonderful, because when you're young and you can be introduced to the joy of good food, I mean, all of us have our horror stories that we've experienced, you know, cakes that just all of a sudden dissolved when we set them on fire or something. We all have these wonderful, wonderful stories that we don't want anybody to know about that was part of our learning curve. But the joy of being in a kitchen and having that fellowship with family members, I just think is absolutely wonderful.
And well, I agree.
And, really,
you know, seafood does not require a lot of preparation, so it's a great thing to do as a group. Or, you know, kids love to see you eat really interesting things, so introduce them to new things. That makes them better eaters as they get older, and they will have a healthier lifestyle.
I agree. Now, let's talk about the fish for a bit, because in this cookbook, the Diabetes Seafood Cookbook, there is some very good information about fish. Now, one of the things that fascinated me with fish, being here in the Pacific Northwest, where salmon, you mentioned you were going to have that as an appetizer. I mean, we just absolutely have a passion for salmon here, all kinds of fish, really, in the Pacific Northwest. But you give some tips about buying fish, and I'd like for you to go over that, because you really should know where you're getting your fish from, and you should know that person that's selling it to you. You should ask them a lot of questions as to the
fish. I agree.
So what should my listeners, if they opted to do something like this, for maybe a light meal, or if they wanted to have appetizers on Thanksgiving, or doing something after, you know, on the Thanksgiving weekend, something that's quick and easy, what would you recommend that they know about buying fish?
Well, I think that the most important thing is to ask questions, just as you said, and to get to know your fish store, your fishmonger, perhaps the fish counter at your local grocery store, you know, wherever it is that you like to go. But ask questions. I always ask, when did this fish come in? I always ask, how long do you recommend I keep it in the refrigerator? Perhaps, what if I don't get to cook it tonight? How long can I keep this? Will this still be good tomorrow, no matter what I'm buying? And the reason I ask those questions isn't because I don't have some sense of that myself, but I'd like to hear what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have purchased the fish. They know where it came from. Ask where it came from. You know, I always feel that rather than someone thinking you're being a pain in the little, you know, behind, that if you're an interested consumer, they really appreciate that, because then they may also make some suggestions to you. For instance, if you go in for salmon and, you know, they say, well, you know, today salmon isn't our favorite fish, but how about another fish? You know, mm-hmm. This is really good today. This just came in. And we want it to smell fresh. You don't want to smell fish when you go into a fish store or at the fish counter in your grocery store. It should smell clean and sweet, like the ocean or the waters that it came from. Mm-hmm. So if you ever smell fish, that's your first clue that you need to think about something else that evening.
Now, in the cookbook, you also have some very, very important information, and that is about fish that is high in mercury. Now, this, sadly to say, in our world today, there are too many areas where fish is coming from that the water is extremely polluted. So this is something that has affected the fish buying very dramatically, because people are very concerned about that. But you give a breakdown about the fish that are high in mercury, and they are the king mackerel, shark, swordfish, tilefish. I don't think I've ever heard of tilefish, and tuna. So here you have these deep water fish. Do you know why they're so much higher in mercury than the others? Is it because they feed on so many fish? Okay.
Exactly. It's because they are the larger fish, and the larger fish, sad to say, tend to eat the smaller fish. Plus, they're a little bit more aged. So they have been exposed to the pollution, as you say, a little bit longer. So a good rule of thumb is to think that it's really the larger fish that will have more mercury. And a guideline for eating those types of fish is about once a week if you're the average healthy adult. And, you know, less often if you are perhaps pregnant or, you know, if you're feeding children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many of the other fish, they come from areas that are not necessarily so heavily polluted. And, again, in the cookbook, you make that breakdown. Okay, I'm ready for food. I don't know about anybody else. I love to eat. Of course, if you're going to live, you got to eat. But why not enjoy it?
And I agree.
Seafood so often gains a terrible reputation, primarily because often people overcook it, or they don't understand the type of fish that they've got. You know, trout, you can pan fry it with almonds and butter, and oh my goodness, it's like food from the gods. And some other fish, you can't do that. It's not going to have the same taste. It's not going to be as flavorful. So let's talk about some of these recipes in here. And I had to go through, I said I had to, of course, someone obviously had to twist my arm to make me do it. But I loved your shrimp scampi in mini phyllo tarts. And I thought, I beg your pardon, phyllo dough, you know, mini shrimp scampi. You got to share this recipe with us. I mean, this is so easy.
It is easy. And, you know, the shrimp scampi basically is shrimp with a little bit of garlic, sautéed in extra virgin olive oil, which is heart healthy and good for all of us, whether we're thinking of ourselves as needing to follow special diets or not. But one other thing, and I will get right back to this recipe, but one other thing I'd like to say about this book is I developed these recipes so that hopefully the entire family would enjoy them, not just perhaps the one person who has diabetes. We want everyone to be able to eat the same meal. That's part of I think the importance of cooking dinner and eating dinner together is that everyone could eat the same meal and no one is singled out. So I really appreciate that you've noticed this recipe. But, you know, basically this recipe is some shrimp sautéed in some garlic, and phyllo dough has very little fat in it. Puff pastry would be another story. So we would make our healthier selection, and that choice would be for phyllo dough. And, you know, I love to do everything from scratch at home, but I recognize that not everyone has time for that. And I have found that you can actually buy quite good quality little mini phyllo tarts in the grocery store in the frozen section or in a gourmet store in the frozen section. And you thaw them out. You fill them up with this little mixture at the last minute. But the mixture of shrimp scampi could be made ahead, and actually that garlic would be really flavorful then. And then you just fill these phyllo tarts, and this would be an excellent Thanksgiving appetizer. Light, fresh, and flavors that people love.
Yes, now let me give you the ingredients. So if you've got that pad of paper handy and the pen, I'll read it off for you. You're going to need a large clove of garlic. Again, this is so simple. And if you get the tarts already, the phyllo tarts all ready to go, piece of cake. You can step this stuff up the day before. A large clove of garlic, an eighth of a teaspoon of salt. You need one lemon, and you need to juice that lemon. You need a tablespoon of light mayonnaise, a half a cup of flat Italian parsley, 4 ounces of cooked salad shrimp. So those are the little shrimp. And then you need 1, 2, and 1 ounce package of the mini phyllo tart shells. Or you can make your own if you want, but heck, save time. Get them where they're already done. Your clove of garlic, what you want to do is you want to really peel it, or however you do it, whack it with a knife, and then just chop it real, real, real fine. And then you want to sprinkle the garlic that you've chopped real finely into the salt, an eighth of a teaspoon of salt, and you want to rub the salt into the garlic, and it creates a little bit of a paste there. Then you add your lemon juice to the paste with your mayonnaise, and give it a little bit of a taste to see if it's salty enough for you. And then you add your quarter of a cup of your chopped parsley and the salad shrimp. You stir it and cover it, and you put it in the refrigerator. It's all ready to go. And if you have your phyllo tart shells, you fill those, and voila, you have got this wonderful, wonderful appetizer. And it'll look like you just spent hours and hours, 15 minutes, and it's all ready to go. You have another recipe called stuffed clams, and I was so impressed with this one because I thought this would just be so pretty. This would just be absolutely beautiful. Tell us about these stuffed clams.
Well, I'll tell you, my kids love clams. So oftentimes I try and think of things, you know, they're older, they're out on their own, so when they come home for dinner or for a holiday, we like to have all their favorite things. And this is actually one of them. And what I love about this dish is this is a do-ahead because we can make the stuffing mixture way ahead. Mm-hmm. It has one of my other very favorite ingredients, which is an Italian bacon, but it's not a smoked bacon. It's called pancetta. It's from the belly of the pig. It's just a delicious, delicious ingredient and does not have all the additives and the nitrates and things that our standard bacon has. So it's a little bit healthier, and we just use a little bit of it because when we use good quality ingredients, we can use less. So we get full flavor, but we can use less. And so what you're going to do here is, and I think I'll just follow your lead and do exactly what you just did and read off the ingredients, which is a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, 2 ounces of pancetta chopped. If you can't get pancetta, you could use regular bacon, your favorite brand, whatever that might be. And maybe use just a little bit less because that would have a little stronger flavor. A medium onion that you've minced, 2 cloves of garlic minced or finely chopped, 2 cups of baby spinach, roughly chopped, and baby spinach cooks very quickly, so you don't have to be terribly fussy about how finely you chop it. A cup of plain breadcrumbs. You can take an artisanal bread that you've purchased that is past its prime and put it in your food processor and use a cup of those breadcrumbs if you like, or you can take a shortcut and purchase some breadcrumbs. And then we want a cup of clam juice, if that's not available, although I think for your listeners it probably is, or some vegetable stock. But you need some, you know, nice flavorful something to help carry the flavors through this. and then a 16-ounce bag of frozen clams on the half shell. Now, I find these in my grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful. They are, I can't tell you how great they are. You just take them out of the bag, you fill them with this mixture, and then you can heat them in the oven for about 15 minutes, and everything is just perfect. And then what we do is we sprinkle them with Parmigiano Reggiano cheese when they come out of the oven. While they're hot, that melts a little bit. And using all of these high-quality ingredients, you can use less, and you have a lower calorie and lower fat stuffed clam.
And not only that, but it's going to have that flavor that you're, you know, maybe somebody's going to want to eat all 24, I don't know. But when you have a nice wine with it or, you know, some sparkly beverage, whatever is a person's pleasure, this is light enough, and it's a finger food. So when you're serving appetizers, this is something that's so nice because those shells are sturdy. And
yes,
you're going to be able to eat what's in the shell. They're not huge shells. So this is really very nice for people to be able to manage as an appetizer before they get in to the main meal. But, oh, you have got so many. You've got a salmon spread in here for the appetizers. You have so many delicious things.
Well, thank you.
So, again, we're talking fish today. But let's go forward into the soup area because I don't know. Sometimes people don't want to fiddle around with an appetizer, you know, a whole bunch of different appetizers. Every hostess has her own way of doing things. But sometimes you want something that's going to be filling. Now, this Italian fish soup, my goodness, I could make a meal off of this, just some fresh bread and this soup, and it would be absolutely amazing and a light dessert. But if you're going to have this as a complement to a meal, again, your favorite wine that would go with it. This is really, really nice, but it doesn't take long to cook it. It's only like about 10 to 15 minutes because, again, you're doing fish. So you're not cooking this for a long time, but you have all these wonderful ingredients. Share this recipe, the Italian fish soup. I'm a soup person. I really like soup during the cold months.
Well, you know, it's really funny that you should say that because I have been making a lot of soups lately. My dad has been staying with us. He's recovering from a little bit of surgery, and so we have been having a lot of soups, and they really are just so nourishing and so good. And what I love about soups is, you know, we could make this Italian fish soup for our Thanksgiving dinner, but it would be a great leftover later on in the weekend when you might be tired of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have listed in the ingredient list here is two teaspoons of extra virgin olive oil. And I usually say to people, you just need enough extra virgin olive oil to cover the bottom of the pan. You don't need your food to be swimming in that olive oil. You just want the flavor. You want the reaction that creates. You want the nice browning that you get from extra virgin olive oil, but the food does not have to be swimming in it. So 2 teaspoons of extra virgin olive oil in a large soup pot is enough. 1 cup of onion chopped, 1 cup of celery chopped or just sliced, you know, if you're using mm-hmm. smaller celery, 1 cup of sliced carrot, 2 cups of, I use Yukon Gold potatoes because I happen to like the consistency and the flavor, but any good quality potato that you like would work here. So you want to peel and dice that. 3 cloves of garlic minced. And people often ask me about garlic mincers and or garlic presses and whether or not I like them. And, you know, my answer to that is if you feel that that's the most convenient way for you to do garlic, that's perfectly fine. But chopping it with a knife, you'll actually get a little bit more flavor because when you use a garlic press, some of those oils stay in the press. So chopping it with a knife is actually a little bit better. It's more flavorful. But my feeling is let's just get you in the kitchen and you do whatever works for you because that's going to keep you in the kitchen. And then 1 cup of fresh basil, and we want to roughly chop that. 1/2 cup fresh oregano, roughly chopped. 1/4 teaspoon fine sea salt, 1/4 teaspoon freshly ground pepper, 1 28-ounce can of diced tomatoes. That's our standard size can of tomatoes mm-hmm. that we see in the grocery store. 1 green bell pepper diced, 1/4 cup of Worcestershire sauce because we need some body in here, 1 pound of fish fillets, tilapia, flounder, cod, whatever is good that day when you're shopping. Whatever's the largest, I like really meaty fish fillets in this soup. 48 ounces of fish stock. A thinned down chicken stock would also work in here if you don't have the opportunity to get fish stock. And then a garnish would be some dry sherry.
Oh, that would give such a delicious flavor.
It does, and it's just, it makes it more festive. It makes it more like a holiday appetizer course if you put the, if you drizzle the sherry on. So really, all you need to do is just place your olive oil in the bottom of a large soup pot, add your onion, celery, carrot, and potatoes. Cook about 5 minutes so those potatoes start to cook and the vegetables soften. Add the herbs, the garlic, the basil, oregano, salt, pepper. Give a quick stir. And once you smell the garlic and the herbs, you know you're at the right place. You can add your tomatoes, bell pepper, Worcestershire, fish stock, simmer it, and then adjust your seasonings with salt and pepper, and it's good to go with perhaps that dash of sherry.
Oh, that is so, so good. Well, let's get to a main dish. Now, this one really appealed to me, and I know some of my listeners are going to say, Donna, who has a cedar plank? Well, this recipe is cedar plank salmon with bourbon, and I couldn't pass this one up because this one is just so great. Now, apparently you can buy a food-grade cedar plank.
Yes,
and
you
this
can.
Is, yeah, so this is something that you fix so quickly, and I'll just go through this quickly, but you need a food-grade cedar plank. So you can go to any of your supply facilities, any of your shopping facilities for kitchen gadgets, et cetera, and they
and
probably
some of your better grocery stores.
Oh, okay. Some of the grocery stores.
Yeah, some of the better grocery stores will have these in the seafood department.
Okay, great. Now, what you're going to need is a tablespoon of oil. In the book, you say canola oil, but couldn't you use olive oil?
You certainly could.
Yeah, so any oil, really, that you really like, a good vegetable oil, and a cup of chopped onion, about one large, 2 cloves of garlic, peeled and minced. You need 1 15-ounce can of petite diced tomatoes. So when they're in little tiny pieces, you don't want the tomatoes that are sliced in big wedges. If you use the wrong can, just chop the things up. That's all you'd have to do. A cup of chicken stock. You need a tablespoon of Worcestershire and 1/4 cup of bourbon, 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. You need another large onion, but you want this one sliced in about a quarter inch thick slices. And then you're going to need 1 pound of salmon. And you want the skin on the salmon. So when you go to purchase this, and I think you could even make, you know, double this recipe if you wanted to. It'd be very easy to do it. But you preheat your oven to 400 degrees, and your cedar plank, you have to soak it for at least 20 minutes while you're preparing your bourbon sauce. And the reason you do this is so that it won't burn. It's not going to char your fish. It's not going to affect your fish in a negative way. And
or create any smoke in your kitchen.
Right. That's one thing you don't want when it's snowing outside or raining outside and having to open up the door and let all the heat out. No, you don't want to do that. The oil in your saucepan, you add your chopped onion, cook until it begins to brown, add your garlic, cook until the garlic it becomes very fragrant. Again, this is just a very small amount of time. Then your tomatoes, your stock, your Worcestershire, your bourbon, your pepper, bring it all to a boil, reduce the heat and simmer it just for 20 minutes. And then, because your cedar plank has been soaking while you've been doing this, you remove your cedar plank from your water that it's been soaking in, put it on a large baking sheet, and you spread the sliced onion on the plank because you're going to put your salmon fillet skin side down on top of those onions. And then you brush the top of the salmon lightly with your 2 tablespoons of bourbon sauce, and you bake it for 25 to 30 minutes until the fish is cooked completely. And you serve your plank. You serve the fish right on that plank, right on your table. And you can have the bourbon sauce on the side. Oh, that'd be so pretty for a buffet.
It is a great buffet dish. Thank you. I love that idea. I'm going to keep that in mind for my next buffet party, but that is a great, and you know what? It's a great conversation piece.
Oh, it is. I think that is just absolutely marvelous. And this recipe is so simple. You could have, you know, you could double this if you wanted to. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could do with this, but having the salmon set on top of the onions with the skin side down, you have that very, very delicate flavor that is going to go through the fish, because fish are very absorbent when they're baking.
And that's
with
right.
The, you know, with the skin, it's just that little bit of insulation. But, oh, the smell of that would just be absolutely wonderful. Now,
also thinking, if you wanted to, you could cut those cedar planks into individual portions, because they're not very big.
That's an idea. Oh,
wouldn't
that be
pretty? And that would be fun, too.
Yes, it would. Well, we've got oven-fried catfish. You've got pecan-crusted orange ruff. I mean, there are all kinds of deliciously wonderful recipes. What's so special about this cookbook is that, one, it's not going to take you hours to do this. Two, if you know your friendly fish person and know them well, saying, this is what I want to do, this is what I need, they will cut it up for you. They'll do whatever you need to do. And fish is just a wonderful, wonderful thing to serve. But I have to chuckle, because you even have quesadillas in here, shrimp quesadillas and things like this. Oh, I just love quesadillas. But what I found so fascinating is that you have a recipe for a pound cake in a fish cookbook. How did you do that?
We did that because we think it's really important for people to have a little treat. So it's the last recipe in the book. It's the treat at the end of the meal. And it is a pound cake, but it's not made with a pound of butter, a pound of sugar, and a pound of flour. It's made with some yogurt. So it's a healthy dessert, because let's face it, if we deprive ourselves, what are we going to do? We're just going to make that all-time sin and eat so much of the wrong things.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is delicious food. Cooking should be fun. The holidays, you should be able to enjoy yourself and not feel like you're one of the commercials on television where the gal loses the turkey through the kitchen window or it goes flying to the moon or something. We don't want that to happen to you, but wouldn't it be fun to do something a little different? Treat yourself. Treat others to this wonderful, wonderful, flavorful adventure of food with fish. Even the kids will like it, because they'll say, what's this? You'll say, it's a little bit of this, it's a little bit of that. Try it, you'll like it. It's really good. The Diabetes Seafood Cookbook. Now, Barbara, I know this is available in just about any store, any bookstore, but is there a website in particular that people can go to?
Well, there are actually two, Donna. You can go to diabetes.org and purchase this book from their store, or you could go to my website and get links to places that you can get this book. And my website is stressfreecooking.com.
Stressfreecooking.com. Whoa, is that a winning title? I like that. It's been a delight, Barbara, having you as a guest. I want to thank you so much. Go to her website, stressfreecooking.com. or diabetes.org, and you can order this book. Wouldn't this be fun to experiment with? And this is something you could try something different every week, and this would just be great. And the photos in here are just gorgeous. But what I like is the recipes are easy. They are really, really easy and don't take a lot of time. Thank you again, Barbara Selig-Brown, for being my guest. This is Donna Seabold. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go
Donna,
away.
Thank you.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do it. Here is the toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we will be happy to take your call. Of course, I'd love to know your first name or your initial and where you're calling in from. And then after that, just relax and I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. I want to take this opportunity to thank those of you that came out to the King's Bookstore at the Dickens Festival on Saturday. It was a delight meeting with you and chatting. It's always so much fun to go out and be in costume, and I always enjoy the little girls that walk by. Their eyes are so big because I have these beautiful gowns that I wear, and they just look at it and go, oh, wow, and it's like, this is fairy princess type of things. And they're just so sweet, and it's just such a joy. But at King's Book, what was really nice, too, is that obviously there's nothing but books there. And to see the children that were taken there by their parents, because this festival is just so much fun, but to see the encouragement and enthusiasm for reading by young people is really a joy, because I know in today's world, so many young people are on the computer that their reading skills are really quite poor. And this is something that has been of concern to me, and I know a number of other individuals who are mature in their years and go, wow, these kids are really going to have a challenge when it comes out to the working world, and they have to read ledgers, or they're going to have to deal with contracts and things like this. And if they don't have good reading skills, they're really going to be at a disadvantage. So I encourage you to encourage those young people who are around you to read. Let them know the love of reading will just serve them well through their entire life. And I know I was talking with some people who are trying to hire some young people, and they said that the reading skill level was so poor they couldn't consider hiring them. Even though they were very fine young people, they said, no, your skills just are not where they should be. So they actually test them. So if you know of anybody that really wants to get out into that working environment, tell them they've got to have those reading skills down, also their math skills down, so that basic math at least, so that they can find a job and be able to keep it. There's been some complaints sometimes by people that are of the younger generation saying, gee, we can't get a job. A lot of the older people are taking the jobs. Well, a lot of the jobs that the older people are getting, even though it's just part-time, is because they can read, they can add, and they are going to be able to do what needs to be done. So if you're a young person and you just feel like crying in your beer because you haven't been able to find anything in the way of work, don't do that. Keep your reading skills sharp, and if you feel like you're weak in reading, go to school. Get some help. Libraries offer assistance in gaining reading skills, etc. It's really worth doing. And again, it opens up worlds of knowledge and information to you that can transform your life and maybe make you aware of some things that you'd really like to be involved with. Believe me, there's a lot that's never shown on television. So get to know your library and get to
to those books and read. Try subjects you've never even investigated. It makes life very interesting. Speaking of making life interesting, I always am intrigued with stories of the unusual, the bizarre, the odd, and every culture has them. And in the 1600s, there is this tale that is told about a Japanese priest who is attempting to exorcise a curse from a kimono. Now, who would think a kimono was cursed? Well, for whatever reasons, this one was considered very cursed, and it actually caused three-quarters of Tokyo in the 1600s to burn to the ground. Now, apparently the garment was owned by three teenage girls consecutively, and every single one of the girls became ill and died before she even had an opportunity to wear this kimono. Now, there's no information about where this kimono came from or why people thought it was cursed. But after this third young girl passed away, the fathers of the young girls were in attendance when one of the Japanese priests endeavored to cremate the unlucky kimono. Now, as it caught on fire, flames rose and then roared. Now, keep in mind, in the 1600s, everything that was built in Tokyo was built of wood, and it just took off like crazy. There was a raging wind that came up. It was like the winds in California and whipped the blaze, and they said it was like, and how it was told, it was like a wicked spirit had been unbound and taken charge, and the flames just went everywhere. They devoured all of the traditional wood and paper buildings, and in 2 days, it destroyed 1,200 tradesmen's houses, 770 samurai residences, 9,000 shops, 350 temples and shrines, 500 palaces, Edo Castle, and 61 bridges. An entire town that had been built up over 300 years was gone in 2 days, and 100,000 people died because of that blaze. Incredible history. Lots of times we don't realize things that have gone on in the past, and someone will find a book or an item in an old library. Usually it's privately owned where stories are recorded. And that was the case with this. Someone found the records, because people do like to keep records on things. But that was an incredible story. And I just find that there are so many things in life that we just don't know very much about. But it does make life intriguing. Makes you wonder where people get their concepts and ideas from. But I guess at that time they didn't think it was necessary to have a sand bucket handy or water or put anything on nearby or have anything available to put the fire out. But who knows? We weren't there, but that's the record of the story. And the kimono, I think, was destroyed in the process along with everything else. This is Donna Siebel, and I know we're going to be going on break in just a moment. I want to tell you tomorrow, Bonnie Lee is going to be my guest. Now, we're going to be talking about, I know, it's absolutely one of your favorite subjects. Yeah, right, taxes. That's never a favorite subject of anybody unless you are a tax specialist. And that's what Bonnie Lee is, and we're going to be talking about her taxpertise. And the taxpertise is going to give us some information, whether you're in business for yourself or you're just dealing with your own tax return. You want to know what you can do to help yourself. Now, I know there's going to be some big changes coming in, but we'll find out what some of those changes are and what we can do to be prepared. Even though it's not until 2010, you're going to blink, and before you know it, tax season will be here. So why not be prepared? And then on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, we're going to be talking with Lauren Sonia. We're going to learn from her how we can think like a marketer. How can we promote ourselves? What can we do? This afternoon, I was observing some people that were very much involved in conversation. They were working with a particular group of people and trying to get help and assistance in working with gangs that are in their particular neighborhoods. And they're just about everywhere, but especially in your big cities. There's a primary problem with this. And this gentleman apparently had been a member of a gang from what I could gather in the conversation. Yes, there we go. Donna's eavesdropping again. Well, when they're standing in front of you and talking, you can't help but hear what's going on in the conversation. And it's really interesting. And here they were trying to figure out how they could let people know they were dealing with marketing. And how can we market what we've got as a service and get some of the assistance that we need? We're always marketing, no matter what we do, no matter where we are. So this is something I think you'll enjoy. Of course, Thanksgiving's on Thursday and Friday. The biggest shopping day of the year is going to be right that day. But Thursday and Friday, I am going to be joining my family, so we'll be playing the best of Donna for you. But these days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'll be here live. So if you want to give me a buzz to chat, 888-815-9756. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. That's our toll-free number. Give me a buzz if you'd like to have me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I wanted to share with you, and I said I was going to do this last week, and we just got either callers or the time went by with the show, and I just wasn't able to tell this wonderful story. I really think that it's important to recognize people when they go and do something that is very special, and they do it for the right reasons. And we have so many people in this world that we never hear about because they're not out there waving banners, they're not standing on a corner screaming, they just go and they just do. And that's what a guy by the name of Dave, and he's from Fife Lake, Michigan. And I wanted to share his story with you today because I think that this really is so important because we need to know that no matter who we are or where we are, what we do makes a difference, and it does have an effect. Now, Dave lives in northern Michigan, and they get a heck of a lot of snow, sometimes even more than certain areas of Alaska. And he said he owns a car repair shop, and he said that he does a nice business there, but because of the snowy weather, most of his income comes from snow plowing. And in December of 2007, he said there was a huge storm that hit. And he said, I was working all night long, and 12 hours later, I was still plowing. And, of course, the radio shows that you listen to, they're saying, don't go out if you don't have to, be very careful. And then while he was listening to this one radio show, the DJ said, we just got word that there is a particular food pantry in Traverse City that's in desperate need of donations. You can take any non-perishable food items, and they gave the rest of the information. Well, the gentleman, Dave, he said, gee whiz, if that's the case, and the big city pantry was like about an hour's drive for him, he said, I wonder how our local food pantries are doing. And he said, the community I live in is a group of four small towns, and they have no real industry, and most of the people that live here are retired, and they have a pretty tough time making ends meet. And with all of the snow that was coming down, it just kept coming into his head that there was a need to be able to get some food to these pantries, because there were going to be a lot of people in the communities, in these small communities, that were going to be doing without during winter. Well, he couldn't figure out what it was exactly he could do, and one of his clients happened to be pulling into a driveway he had finished plowing and stopped and waved and said hello. And she said, gee whiz, I need to mail you a check for something, but I don't have the cash on me. But he said, I'll tell you what. Our radio program said, local program said that the food pantries are down on donations. Why don't you just give me some canned items so that I can take them over to the pantry and you don't have to pay me anything. Just give me some canned food. And she said, hey, that's a good deal. So she brought out a full grocery bag of non-perishable items. And he put the bag in the back of his truck, and every single one of his clients that he was clearing the driveway for, he said, if you will give me non-perishable items, don't pay me, just do that. That'll be a wash. Well, he had so much food in his truck, by the very next day, he could barely even get in the truck. And this is a big guy. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's about 6'5", must weigh at least 275 pounds. Big, big guy. Well, he decided he'd drop the groceries off at the local church's food pantry. And there, when he got there, they were so grateful to see him, because when he looked at their shelves, they hardly had anything on the shelves. He said there wasn't enough food to keep a family of four fed for a week. And he thought, wow, gee, I brought in all this food and it doesn't make any difference at all. So he goes out the next day, and he's continuing to do the same thing, and he finds that he's crossing paths with another snowplow driver, and they chat, and he said, well, I've been doing this with the food, and people are having such a tough time, but I picked up so much food yesterday, there's hardly anything left. I mean, it's gone. They need so much more. Well, he said, I've decided I'm going to continue to give my clients a discount if they'll donate food, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to collect enough food to really make a difference. Well, he said his friend volunteered to help. And he said, you don't have to do your plowing for nothing. Just make it a little less and ask them to donate some food. And he said, you know, we all have accounts that the people can't afford to pay us. We take care of clearing their driveways and things like that. But he said, we just need to do something to help. Well, he said, okay, this sounds a little crazy, but what the heck? I'll probably make more money than you do anyway. So in the next 2 weeks, just about every snowplow driver in the area got in on the competition, who's going to collect the most, giving discounts to their clients in exchange for food donations. And right before Christmas, he went back to his church's pantry, and the shelves were absolutely crammed with cans, boxes, toiletries, even diapers. And he happened to catch the eye of a man who had lost his job, had little children in his family. He said he knew they were really having a tough time. And he said this guy came in and he was even donating food. He thought he was going to be a recipient, but this man, the father of these children, was donating 10 cans of food. He said, wow, I never thought that I could make a difference by myself. And he said, I know I did, but at the same time I didn't. Because it took all of these people, all of my fellow workers in the snowplow business, And then when the word went out by other people came in on their own, even if they were going through difficult times, to make sure that nobody in our community went hungry during the winter of 2007. I think it's a fabulous story, and I think Dave is a marvelous example, Dave Browning of Five Lakes, Michigan. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Wherever you are, have a marvelous, marvelous time, a day, an evening, wherever, whatever time zone you might be in. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is your choice to live to the fullest. And always remember, give a helping hand whenever you can. Doesn't mean you have to be self-sacrificing to the point of oblivion. Just be thoughtful. A smile can be just as good as anything else, if that's what you have available in a moment. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow. It's taxes. Yes, that's what we'll be discussing. Same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com, station number one. Donna here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.